Okay, this is the second in the series. We're talking about Simcha on Yom Kippur. And, of course, the Torah tells us that we have to afflict ourselves on this day. The first source on the page says, in Vayikra Perek Tet Zayin. And again, in Perek Chav Gimel, it says, Kol nefesh asher lo si'uneh be'etzem ayom hazeh. Whoever does not afflict themselves on this day, v'nichrasam me'ameha. They will be cut off from their people. It's a positive commandment. We have to, as a positive commandment, afflict ourselves on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara is in a quandary. How do we perform this affliction? Usually a positive commandment is performed by doing something. Right? We perform the positive commandment of mezuzah, or tefillin, or tzitzis, or matzah, with an action. So how do we, with an action, fulfill the mitzvah of afflicting ourselves on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says that this affliction is different from all other afflictions, or all other positive commandments of the Torah. It's the only positive commandment that is observed by doing nothing. It's violated by doing something, right? By eating or drinking, right? So that's why the first Mishnah in Maseches Krisus that lists two positive commandments that carry a punishment of Kares, not having a bris, and not making the Korban Pesach. But it should list three, not afflicting ourselves in Yom Kippur. It sounds like a positive commandment, it says afflict yourselves. If you don't afflict yourselves, you're Chayav Kares. So Rambam explains in the Perush HaMishnah of Maseches Krisus that the reason why it didn't include it is because this positive commandment is observed like a negative commandment. It's observed by doing nothing. We observe negative commandments by doing nothing. We don't eat shatnez. We don't wear shatnez. We don't eat treif. So here, by sitting in sheval tasev, Gemara says, by sitting and doing nothing, so since its violation is different than all other positive commandment violations, it's not listed in the Mishnah Krisus. Okay, fair enough. So we already see at the bottom of page 1 that in Yeshayahu's day, that prophet complained about people who got this wrong. You see, this is the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. Look, it says, Lama tzamnu v'lo ro'inu ro'isa ininu navshenu v'lo seda. Right? Hein l'rivu matzah tatsumu l'hakos be'egraf resha. They're picking a fist and they're punching themselves. They're afflicting themselves. It says, v'lo tatsumu kayom l'shmir b'marom kol chem. They're lifting up their voices and they're feeling that they have to do something positively to reach this stage. They're behaving like it says in Purim, where they did tshuva in the Purim story, similar words being used. Do you have to don sackcloth and behave like it's a day of a mournful day? So he says, that's not the kind of fast that I want. Right? Now, I think it might be a mistake on our part to prove from here that the Gemara is correct when it says that Yom Kippur is observed b'shev v'al ta'aseh, by doing nothing. Because prophets often spoke this way to the people. You think that this is what I want from your korbanos? You think I want the blood of your animals? You think I want the fat on my mizbeach? What I want is for you to treat each other kindly, and I want morality. That doesn't necessarily mean that first thing is something that's...
Right, certainly, but they said, kechulim acham devarim, that it wasn't that he wanted the korbanos. I mean, they wanted the korbanos, but
they also want the other thing. To have korbanos without the morality is wrong, and maybe even worse than nothing. But it doesn't mean that I don't want that with morality.
Right, that's what Hoshea was saying.
Right. So still, I can understand what Yeshua was saying. He's just warning the people that your self-flagellation, physical flagellation, is not something that I want on Yom Kippur. Right? So let's turn now to some of the rabbinic sources on the topic. It says, this is part of our machzer, or part of our liturgy. It says, V'yomtuv haya oseh kohen gadol l'cholo havov. When the Kohen Gadol finished all of his avoda on Yom Kippur, this is page 2 now, when he finished his avoda on Yom Kippur, it says he would make a holiday. Mm-hmm. You see, the English translation is, he would make a holiday for all his loved ones. Right, when he finished all his work, right? We're on page 2 now. when he finished everything on Yom Kippur, he made a Yom Tov. I took a little note on in the Art Scroll Siddur. It says, the Torah warns that the Kohen Gadol would not leave the Holy of Holies alive unless he performed the Yom Kippur service properly. Indeed, the Tzedukei high priests who refused to perform the service as taught by the sages would die on Yom Kippur. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol emerged unharmed from the Holy of Holies had ample reason to celebrate. See that? Indeed, Rabbi Gamliel taught that Yom Kippur was one of the most festive days of the year. Here it is. Take a look. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It should be Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom haKippurim. Happiest days. Yes. So the happiest days of the year were Tu B'Av, Chamisha Sar B'Av, and Yom HaKippurim. Now look at the next word, is instructive. Shebohen, because on those days, Bohen is plural, on those days, B'Nos Yerushalayim Yotzos B'Chli Lavon She'ulim, on those days, women would borrow white garments so as not to give an unfair advantage to the wealthy women. Shelo L'Vayeshes Misha Einlo, right? Kol HaKelim Tu'un Mitzvila, right? So that's today's daf is actually Kol HaKelim Tu'un Mitzvila, that you've... When you use someone else's towel, then it there's a hesach hadas and you need to tovel it. It's mamash from today's daf chaf and meseches chagiga. All right. So v'nos Yerushalayim yotzos v'cholos b'kramim. The women of Yerushalayim would go out and make circles in the vineyards. U'mahayu omros, and what would they say? They say nyanim about shiduchim. They would say, you know, reasons to choose us for a good shidduch. Okay. So if you see now the Teferis Yisrael, he quotes the Bar Tanura, that when it says Shebohen, it's not talking about Yom Kippur. It's just Bohen on the days of Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av every year, those are the days that the women would dance. But it doesn't mean Yom Kippur also. What's the place of dancing on Yom Kippur and making Shiduchim on Yom Kippur? There's no place for such a thing. All right.
Yeah, but it says specifically Yom Kippur before.
Yeah, and it says Shebohen, yeah, but...
Well, so it... Okay. I know what you're saying, but it's also saying that...
Well, if you turn to page 3, you'll see that...
It's like the Rashi in the Re'e, this is Afla Mos Matase Kane, and skips over the in between the two.
Well, that's...
That you never do the
Gemara, that was right. Achamosta Sekein doesn't refer to what was just before,
right?
Refers to something,
right.
So this is well before it.
Skipping over the Yom Kippur.
Okay. So, I'm just going to take a look at the Tiferes Yisrael towards the middle of page 3. Okay, it says, you see the Samach Gimel?
Yeah.
It says, Afagav de Yom Kippur lo shayach shi shoru bochur. Right? So he says, it says, you think that people, that a holy nation like Israel should be talking and having women dancing on Yom Kippur? So there are two ways to deal with this. Either change the girsa to Shebo, only on Tu B'Av, because right. Yom Kippur has a separate reason for its joyful nature, because the Luchos Shnios were given on Yom Kippur, and God forgave Bnei Israel for making the Egel. That's why the day of the atonement for the Egel becomes our day of atonement. Right? And it's also an interesting component of the observance of Torah. When the Torah Shebaal Peh comes down the last time from Har Sinai, right? So this is, the Rav Soloveitchik said that that's the testing of Torah Shebaal Peh. Yom Kippur is totally dependent on Torah Shebaal Peh for the very nature of the day. Because from the Torah, it looks like it's a day of Inui. And from Yishayahu on to our Rabbanim, it's a day of celebration. Just no eating. But it's not because we don't want to celebrate. It's because of a separate component of Yom Kippur that has to do with the extreme spiritual that we don't need. Not because we want to make it a sad day. Tisha B'Av is a sad day. And when we read about the Asura Hurgi Malchus, it's not because of sadness. If there's any sadness in Yom Kippur, it's because we don't have the Avoda. That's when some people really cry during the Avodah, not during a Sarug Machos. Sarug Machos is kapara for the 10 sons of Yosef, because it seems in the story at the end that the brothers didn't really ask for forgiveness, nor did Yosef forgive them. He excused them, but he didn't forgive them. That's why they thought that he would still want to kill them after Yaakov died. Right? Louis to Men Yosef, right? So the Yom Kippur is dependent on Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rav extends it to Sukkot also, because 4 days later is another holiday that's mamish totally dependent, much more than the other holidays, on Torah Shabbat Peh. Arava, Nisuch HaMayim, and Sukkos, you know, Kapos, Yishem Lemesora, even what is a Pri Yitz Hador, for goodness sakes, without Torah Shabbat Peh telling me what it is. And the Sugya and Masechet Sukkah that goes through trying to figure out from Sukkim, but still, these are all things dependent on the Torah Shabbat Peh, which was just revealed to us, and Yom Kippur itself. That's why we start with Kol Nidre. Because Heter Nedarim, Porchim Ba'avir, the Mishnah says in Chagiga. Hataras Nedarim, that's not between the man and his wife and the man and his daughter, is totally, totally flying in the air, the Gemara says. And where does it say in the Torah such a thing? The Gemara gives all kinds of remazim in Chagiga to the Inyan. But it's not Mefurish Bakra, it's not explicit, so it's dependent on an oral tradition. Right? Okay, So that's the joy of Yom Kippur, that we have the oral tradition, which is Tovim Dudecha Miyayin. And the Tiferes Yisrael talks about the Bachur, that the Bachur would dance, that picks the bride who's dancing, is really a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Shir Hashirim. So the Tiferes Yisrael chooses to explain Shebahen. He keeps the Girsa, but the Shebahen, a Tu B'Av, is real dancing with women, men watching women. And on Yom Kippur, it's a sort of a spiritual dancing where God is watching us dance. It's interesting because the word for dancing, it's mecholos. Because the word mechila does not appear in Tanakh. We talked about that at Slichas. The word mechila is not a Tanakh word. Slicha and kapara are, but mechila is not. So it's interesting that, you know, Kippur is a day of these mecholos with God and His people, and that's the mechalam.
Is that the kapara for the mecholos, that the eagle?
Fascinating, yeah. Good, beautiful. Beautiful. The word appears there too. Now we have to see if he brings it down and then see it there. Okay, so look at the Gemara in Moed Katan that says that the Yom Kippur, on the year that they finished building the Beis HaMikdash, remember what Shlomo did that year? And we know from actually the Haftorah of Shmini Atzeres that this was the case. Because it says that they finished the building of the Beis HaMikdash in the beginning of Tishrei. They celebrated for 7 days. Then they went right into Sukkos. And then on the 23rd of Tishrei, Shlomo sent them home. Do the math. Mm-hmm. Those 7 days were over Yom Kippur. Right? So the Gemara allows us this threefold Kal V'chomer. Look, take a look, let's read it. O Sashana, Lo Asu Yisrael, Asu Yom Kippurim. It's a euphemism. Clear. Maybe we deserve to be punished because we partied and we had a festival on Yom Kippur that year. What was the threefold? My darish. What was the threefold drasha? It was a tripartite kal v'chomer. One is that when they finished the Mishkan in the desert, right? So they had 12 days of celebration. It's called the Yomei Miluim. The Akrabos HaNasiim. That was the Yomei Miluim. It was a 7-day celebration. This is a 12-day celebration that some people read on the first, from the 1st of Nisan to the 12th of Nisan. They read the Parshas Naso, what we read on Chanukah. Chanukah HaMizbeach, so they say. Right? So these 12 days of celebration went over Shabbos. Someone violated Shabbos to do this. Where does a celebration for completing the Mishkan allow someone to violate Shabbos? So they said, Shabbos, if Shabbos was violated for an itinerary situation in the desert, not for a Beis Olamim, right? And that was just an individual, how much more so should the whole Tzibur violate a lesser day, Yom Kippur, for a Beis HaMikdash that's standing much longer than just a few years in the desert? That's why it's known as the Beis Olamim. Not that, I mean, it was destroyed twice, right. But it's called the Beis Olamim because it's the house that is meant to be in perpetuity. It maintains its kedusha in perpetuity. Right? When they moved the Mishkan, the place where the Mishkan was before didn't stay holy. Even Har Sinai, Shochayov, Hamayalu Bahar. As soon as we're finished, now you can go up the mountain if you're curious. All right, so the Marmot Tatan said that they could do this with Yom Kippur, which is fascinating. Testing anyway, wait to see when Mashiach comes, what kind of psak you can give us about that. Take a look at this pasuk in Eicha. It says, Darchei Tzion Avelos, the paths to Tzion are mournful. I don't have to ask why. The pasuk says why. Because no one is Alila Regel. No one is going. No one is traveling on these roads that used to have pilgrimages with you know, it's interesting. The Gemara says in Makos that for a you have to put signs on the road to let someone know that the Ir Miklat is that way. Miklat this way, that way, and keep a GPS so he knows where to go. But they never needed signs on the road for Alila Regel because you're on the Derech, you know where you're going. But when someone is
on the run,
he needs the GPS. Okay, so look at the Targum. Hold on to your seats when you read this Targum. You'll be amazed at what this Targum says. First of all, we don't know the exact authority of the Targum Tiksuvim. The Gemara in the beginning of Megillah says that there is no Targum Tiksuvim. Right? Now, the reason it gives for having no Targum Tiksuvim should suffice for Daniel, maybe Tehillim and Eov, but with some other Rishonim say a hint to the arrival of Mashiach. But Eicha. All right. I mean, all the Mikros Gedolos have Targum to all the Chamesh Megillos, and we consider it to be authoritative enough to be like canonized along the side. I mean, it's in all the Mikros Gedolos, but we don't know the exact author. So there's someone, Rav Yosef in the Gemara, who often gives Targum even to Psukim and Ksuvim. And but I'll tell you this: the Targum to Chamesh Megillos is very, very midrashic. They take tremendous liberties, especially to Esther, you know, the Targum. There's two Targum to Esther. That each pasuk is, this could be a half a page of Targum. It's like a medrash in itself. Right? So just to introduce, you'll see what the Targum does here. It says, this is the Targum, now I underlined it. Kol zman dehava Yerushalayim mispanya, when Yerushalayim, all the time that it was built up, right? Srivu Yisrael lemisak Yerushalayim, Bishazoa kodem Hashem tla zimnin bishata. Right. So, this is talking about during the time of the divided kingdom, and the king of the north put fences up around Yerushalayim to make sure that his subjects didn't go down there to be Aliyah Regel, because then they might become subjects of Yehuda. Right. It says in Malachim that Yerubim ben Nevat said, "Oh, if people go down to Yerushalayim, they'll become subjects of Rechavam." So he put up a shrine in Dan, a shrine in Beit El, and he says, "Come to mine," and he prevents people from going to Yerushalayim.
There were a golem in those shrines, or at least Yerubim put a golem in those shrines.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Eilei Elohech Yisrael, sure, look at those Mitzrayim. Okay, so we're on page 4. Velchovand Yisrael, it's to Dias Yushlem Isavidu Shvile Tzion Avelon, Medele Soil Ba, Bizman Moadaya. So this is a little different than the Pshat. The Pshat is talking about that no one's going to Yerushalayim because of the Churban. Right? This is Eicha, after the Churban. No. All the years that it was during the time of Sefer Malachim, no one was going Aliyah the Regel.
Right.
The only people going to Yerushalayim were people lived in Yerushalayim already. Right? You how it's understood? This is not such a stretch. This is
right,
okay.
Because
so
we had a story of Elkanah.
Right? This is okay so far. But that was in Shiloh. But even then, right. So the B'nai Eli kept people from coming. So just parenthetically, there is a Gemara that says that describing the king who lost the 10 tribes, his name was Hoshea ben Ela. Coincidentally, the prophet who spoke to Bnei Yisrael at this time was named Hoshea. We read from the Haftarah yesterday from him. Hoshea ben Ela, it says, when he became king, he was a bad king, but not as bad as the kings before him. Okay? So the Gemara says, in what way was he not as bad as the kings before him? says he took down those fences. So the Gemara has a good kasha. If he took down those fences, why did he lose the kingdom? Why do we have 10 terrible kings in a row, and the one king who starts to make things a little better, he loses the kingdom? This is a kasha. No, why don't you give him a chance? Give it 3 or 4 more kings. Maybe each one will get better, a little better than the one before. It says he was better than everyone before him. That doesn't make him good, but he's just not as bad as everyone else. So why does he lose the kingdom? Have you heard the Musar? What could possibly happen that would make things worse because he took down the fences?
People from Yehuda coming up.
No, what are we reading here?
They didn't show up.
They still didn't show up. All those years, so you had an excuse. Everyone could say, here, I know I should be going to Yerushalayim instead of Beit El and Don, but all right, you know, but there's that big fence. What am I going to do? I can't take my Master Shani with me. I can't do it. What am I going to do? Right? But now that the fences are no longer up there, and you still nobody goes, and still Darkei Tzion Avelos, so it became a bigger kitrug on the nation. You get it? That they didn't go, and that's why he lost it. He lost the kingdom. He should have not only taken down the fences, but exhort the people very seriously to go down there. All right, but read on. Okay. Now it says, Kol tar'oho tzadion v'chahanoho onchin. All her gates are taken down, and the kohanim are sighing with no work to do. Why? Al di betilu kurbanaya. Right, because the no korbanos to bring, they don't have work to do. So it says kol sharei shomimin kohanim enochim. The kohanim are sighing. Now look at the end. Bisulos nugos v'hi marla, and the bisulos of the place are all in despair. Look at the targum. Bisul saha safton. The young maidens are all eulogizing and mourning. Al di psaku lemepak b'chamsha asar yomin ba'av, uveyoma de kipuraya, dihu ba'asre yomin b'tishrei, lechinga b'chinugin, af ihi merir liba lechada. What an amazing targum! Following this, what's a chingin? Chingin is a festival in the marketplace. Chinga, it says don't have a. A cow with a bell around it on Shabbos, because then it looks like you're taking it to Chinga. Chinga is like the marketplace for sale, right? So it says that it's an open place. So it says that the reason why the Besulos are in despair is because they can no longer go to Yerushalayim on Tu B'Av and on the 10th of Tishrei, the Higher Yom Kippurim, in order to celebrate. So this Targum clearly wants to maintain, do two things that we saw that others were undoing. Either change the gear session from Shebohen to Shebo, Tu B'Av but not Yom Kippur, or do what the Tzeferes Yisrael did to explain Shebohen includes Yom Kippur, but it's something esoteric about God with the circles and John's Chiddush of the undoing the Egel. So the circles are really God and his people and then Israel dancing together. Fine. But what this Targum does is it includes Yom Kippur, but it has Yom Kippur as the Psulos are not dancing because they don't have they can't keep their minhag because there's no place to dance. So there you have it. I mean, and look at the Psichta in the Eicha Rabosi. Right? So here it says, let's take a look about a few lines. Let's do 3 lines from the top. You see what it says? Lamed Gimel? Reb Zeira Pasach. Pasach means you open a discussion on an agreed upon topic, but you open the discussion from someplace far away from the topic, someplace that you can connect it afterwards. Yes. So he says, Vahila Evel ki nori ve'ugvi l'kol bochim. My harp has become mournful, and my musical instruments are all in a state of despair, and they're all crying. Taman taninun. I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel. Again, it's not Rav Gamliel, but Rav Shimon Gamliel. Lo hayu yomim tovim liYisrael kituba av ukiyom haKippurim. Shebohen, again, see Shebohen, Yotzos Benos Yisrael Bechli Lavon, She'ulim Kedei Shelo Lebayesh Es Mishein Lo, V'chol HaKeim Ha'yutun Tevila, V'hen Benos Yisrael Yotzos V'cholus Bekromim. That's the Mishnah we just did, right? Tama, Mi She'ein Lo Isha Nifne L'Sham. If you didn't have a wife, you'd go out there and find a wife. U'maha Yu'amros, Bachar, Sa'in Echo Re'ei Ma'ata Barer Lacha. Al Titein Enecha Benoi, Tein Enecha Ben. This is in the Gemara, in Masechet Tainis. Mishpach. Chenu Omer, Tzenarena Benos Tzion, Bemelech Shlomo Ba'atarashi, Trolo Imo, Biyom Chasunaso, Uviyom Simchas Libo. Biyom Chasunaso, Ze Matan Torah, Uviyom Simchas Libo, Ze Binyan Beis Hamikdash, She'ibana Bimher V'Yemenim. So the Gemara says, Bishlamo Yom Kippurim, Yom Slicha V'Kapara L'Yisrael, Yom Shenitnu Bolochos Achronos. Oh, that's important. You see, the Psichta understands Yom Kippur to be separate from Tu B'Av. Gives us separate reasons for the joy of Yom Kippur. The joy of Tu B'Av is with all the dancing and all the Shidduchim. But Yom Kippur is a separate thing. It's a day of forgiveness. We should be happy with the forgiveness. And it's a day of the reception of the second Luchos, which is the Torah Shabbat. Okay? Alright, so here is an interesting thing. Yerushalmi in Ksuvus talks about ways to know that a woman getting married, right, what should be written in her Ksuva from a witness who was at the wedding. You know what I'm saying? In other words, she's married in the year 1980, and there's a 4-year-old child there who are now in the 2010. She wants to be remarried. The first husband divorced her or died. And they want to know the status of the woman there. And it's different whether she was an almana or a grusha at the time, or whether she was a pasul at the time. The difference will be, how did she show up at the wedding? Was her hair already covered before the wedding? Or was her hair would she walk around Rosh HaPura totally uncovered? Right? So the Mishnah in Maseches Ksuvos and the Bavli also discusses this. But it's here in the Yerushalmi, it adds a very interesting twist. I underlined it. Bottom of source 4. You see it? Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rav Yochanan. Begin ilu sheyatzvu b'yom ha-kippurim b'rosha pru'a. If she went out on Yom Kippur with her hair uncovered. Huh? What does that prove? Ve'edeh me'idin sa shelo nivala. The witnesses say that she was a pasula at that time. She was never married before then. But the issue is... Thanks. The issue is that what is it about this single woman who went out on Yom Kippur with her hair uncovered? What was the purpose? Take a look at the Korban Eda. Klomar, this is a great commentary to the Yerushalmi, and he doesn't mind saying what she's doing with her hair uncovered on Yom Kippur. He writes, look at the right side, small print. Klomar, lav b'shas ha'chupa ayri. No, that part where he is not talking about how she went out to her wedding canopy. Ela she'edim me'edin she'yotza v'rosha pura b'yom ha'kippurim. She went out on Yom Kippur before the year before she got married. Why? She'benos Yisrael Yotzos v'cholos b'kramim. K'ditz non v'sof ta'in, m'sachas ta'inis. Wow. How do you like that? Then he says, or it could be that in Yom Kippur we don't groom, so, you know, she didn't have a chance to, you know, put her hair and put it in a bun, so she just left the house quickly to get the shawl. She's fasting, she doesn't care how she looks. Right? But his first explanation was, you know, what evidence are we giving about her going out with her hair uncovered? Yeah, because she's Adrabba. What is she going out to dance for? For these single men to choose a wife. So of course she wants to have her hair uncovered. She wants to, she doesn't want to act like a married woman. It's an interesting thing in itself, because the Gemara in Mishnah Maseches Ksuvos talks about a married woman covering her hair, but the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, which talks about Sar B'Isha Erva, Kol B'Isha Erva, Shok B'Isha Erva, doesn't differentiate between married and unmarried women. I never heard anybody differentiate with Kol Isha between a married and an unmarried woman. There's no posik in the world that does that.
Is there a connection in terms of whether we keep on talking about the, you know, Shidduchim and Yom Kippur, to the fact that when you're getting married, it's a Yom Kippur for the chasen and the kala.
Because it's a day of starting anew. You have kapara for your avonos, because the Gemara says it's about the person who becomes a melech also. It's like becoming a new person, and you can't, don't bring up what they did in the past, now they're holding no new chesh.
Do we have stuff in Yom Kippur now that ties into Shidduchim like that, aside from just being spalo for it?
Don't see it. What we do is the mincha of a chassan who davens before the wedding, says the whole...
Right, no, that's what I'm saying, that there's that connection, that there's...
Yeah, it's interesting. That we consider a marriage to be like a Yom Kippur for the...
Would Chabur say straight out that everybody covers their hair, even though I'm married?
Sure, yeah, bein panuya, bein nesua.
So
what did the Nosekelim do? The Rambam too, Rambam before the Mechaber. So Nosekelim say, panuya means grusha and amana. Which is not the pshat. They know how to say that. Because they were trying to bend the practice to the words in the print. Right? So, the Mordechai says that, all the single women are not coming here. Right? That led to the Orcha Shulchan Skula, it's based on the the sociological issues or contemporary associations. Right. So today, you all married women are also uncovering this. So that led to a separate kula of 700 years later. All right, but the Korban Ha'edah on the source on page 4 is fascinating acceptance of the minhag that we said before, that this dancing in the fields is not only on Tu B'Av but also on Yom Kippur. All right, turn to page 5. Well, actually, no, this skips 5. There. Skip to 7. What's the definition of inui in Yom Kippur?
Six.
Yeah, it's it. It should be 6. Yeah.
You should skip the month.
Yeah, I think there's a page with too many sources. I took it off. So it says, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru, Nomar Kan Ta'anu Es Nafsho Seichem, V'Nomar Lahalan, V'Yan Chava Yerivecha, Ma Inui Ha'amur Lahalan Ravon, Af Inui Ha'amur Kan La'arvon. So you see what the Sifra did? It tried to use a proof from a drosha, that when the Torah says afflict yourself on Yom Kippur, it means don't eat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean take a belt and whip someone. It doesn't mean put on a Barbra Streisand album. It doesn't mean put on it doesn't mean, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean to torture yourself. You know what I'm saying?
It's Jewish.
Yeah, okay. Tanur Banan, Ta'anu the Gemara Yuma says, Yochol Yeshev Bechama Ubitzina. Do you have to sit in the hot sun or be freezing Kadeshit Steyr? Do you have to sit on sharp objects and make yourself have tsar? Talmud Lomar, V'chom Malacha lo sasu. Ma Malacha Sheva al Taseh, Af Inui Nefesh. Sheva al Taseh. Just like Malacha is sit back and do nothing, so too, Inui is sit back and do nothing. This English translation is there behind. V'avadati es ha-nefesh, 37, Ahi Inui Shehi Avedas ha-nefesh, V'ezezeh, What does the Torah mean when it says afflict yourselves? It means just refrain from eating and drinking. Well, that would, if you would do that in perpetuity, you couldn't last, right? But you can theoretically live every day listening to Barbra Streisand. I don't know, maybe not after a week, you'd probably go crazy. But you can theoretically, get a whipping every day and not die. But if you go without eating and drinking every day, you will die soon. So that's the inner nefesh. Habadati es nefesh. You see the drushes? These are all drushes, right?
This is sort of another midah kneginah, that if you don't do it, your own avedas nefesh, I'll do it for you.
Right, interesting, yeah. That's what the fast is. The fast is like what do we put on the mizbeach? The blood and fat.
Right.
The kohanim eat the meat. So when we fast, we have a miut of blood and fat. Right? So Ibn Ezra says this in Pshat. He says, "Kol inui she'imtza b'mikra devek im nefesh hu atzom." Any inui that has to do with nefesh is tzom. All right, Ramban talks about the need to explain this in view of what the Karaites say about Yom Kippur. Because if you see what the Karaites do on Yom Kippur, they mamish act like Shiites when they're recreating that, they give themselves lashes and they, right? So,